pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, I pray that you may come and minister to us right now, that your word may come alive and just challenge our lives, challenge our hearts, that we might live differently because we've met with our God this morning. Amen. So I'm very grateful to my parents who had quite a good attitude, I feel, towards money. It was never, my parents were never very wealthy, but they were very relaxed, really, about money, and I never felt any stress coming from them towards us. And I think that's made me more relaxed about money and talking about money and things like that. And there's something about inheriting something when you're around people that you inherit it. And I think today what I really want to talk about is being around God so we might inherit something of his attitude towards money and resources and all of that. Because I think generosity is something which is often misunderstood about how we approach it. And I'll come back to that. But if we look at this passage, just briefly, if we look at the first few verses, it talks about growing and sowing and reaping, getting what you give is what you get, and about your attitude towards it. But I want to start by diving into verse 9, because I think this is a real key to this whole thing of generosity in this passage. And it says this: as it is written, they freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. So what's going on here? You've got this Corinthian church which Paul is writing to, and he is saying that they've been giving to the poor, that's what they've been sowing, and what they've been reaping, well, the righteousness which endures forever. That's the consequence of it. So first of all, what does righteousness mean? What does it mean to they're receiving righteousness because of their giving? Well, righteousness, one way of looking at it, is being right with God, having a right relationship with God. In other words, being connected to God, and so importantly in this context, and his resource as provider of all things. So when we're right with God, we are connected to his resources, and as I began to say, so we then inherit something of his heart. But we seem to be far more fundamental than this, because it goes on to say that they receive righteousness which endures forever. So why does it matter that we are connected to God in the big scheme of things and have righteousness which we receive through this generosity? Well, being right with God is essentially how we get to heaven. When we're right with God, then we will spend this lifetime and the next lifetime because we are right with him. So this is a huge thing. And so we need to have a heaven perspective in this, because it says there that the righteousness endures forever. In other words, it lasts not just for this lifetime, but right into heaven. And when you have a heaven perspective, you start seeing things differently. But we tend to have an earth perspective because that's where we are. But if you think of life on earth as being 1 centimetre or 1 inch, if you're imperially minded, heaven is more like 1 million miles. So we tend to look at this 1 centimetre and think it's all about that. But when it endures forever, we're talking about something that's going to last forever. And generosity is something which lasts right into forever, of which we're only currently engaged in 1 centimetre, but we're going to be engaged. It endures forever, forever. So heaven really matters, and generosity matters, because this is something which is going to go right in, and it is all connected. So generosity is an indication, an indicator of whether we are right with God. If you receive righteousness as a result of it, it's an indicator of righteousness as a result of generosity, is a good indicator of whether we're right with God. And if I really want to push it, it's an indicator of whether we're on our path to heaven. Yeah. So if you're somebody that doesn't like talking about money because it's a kind of want, no, very English, don't talk about it. Or maybe something you really worry you and concern. Now, there may be genuine reasons for concerns, but if your lifetime is to worry about money, or if you just think, well, actually, you're not a generous person, you just find it really hard to be generous, it's an indicator that there's something wrong with your relationship with God. Because if God is a generous God and we're connected to Him, then that generosity should flow through us. And we should, the proof of our salvation, the proof of our connection to God, will be that we'll be generous people. Verse 13 says, because of the service of generosity by which you have proved yourself. Paul was saying that the Corinthian church had proved their salvation in their act of generosity. Now, don't get me wrong, generosity is not the way to heaven. By giving more money is not the way to earn your way to heaven. That is unquestionably through Christ, His cross, and His resurrection. That is the way to heaven. That is how you get right. But for the righteousness and relationship to be maintained, and your connection to God, and for you to be in right relationship with God, there will be generosity. If you plant an apple tree, the fruit will be apples. If you become a Christian and you're connected to God, the fruit of that, or one of the fruits, will be generosity. When you're connected to a generous God, the fruit of that will be generosity. Verse 8 says, God is able to bless you. And that word bless actually is from the Greek charis, which is normally translated grace, but wouldn't make sense in this context. And grace is the very thing we receive to go to heaven. So in some ways, it's, if you literally translate it, God is able to grace you, or God is able to heaven you. The response from that, from this, is God is going to give you this. Verse 14 actually does translate the same word again, charis, translated here, grace, as it normally is. So receive grace, receive heaven because of your generous gift. So let's go back to verse 6. You reap what you sow. What you get is what you give. So when you give generosity, the response for that is you receive God's blessing and His grace. Look at this in this amazing story of Zacchaeus. I love this story. I did it for a men's group in another church and just saw it afresh. So wonderful. But I saw something new in this. So here's the verse from verse 14. Now look, you've got this guy, Zacchaeus. He's up a tree, okay? Now he is a chief tax collector, which basically means he's a bad guy. He's a long way from God. Jesus says, come on down out of the tree. I'm coming into your home. Now you get this connection now. So Zacchaeus gets connected to God. He has that intimate moment with God, and you can't. That intimate God moment with Jesus. Look what it does. He says, but Zacchaeus said to the Lord, I will give half my money to the poor. If I cheat anyone, I'll pay that person four times more. What's the result? Generosity. He's putting right what's wrong, but I'm going to give half my money to the poor, and most of the rest of it, I'm cheating people out, and I'm paying them four times as much. So his response to being connected to God is generosity. But look what Jesus' response is. Jesus said, salvation has come to this house today. You see, generosity is a mark of salvation. It's an indicator that he is saved. So generosity is a hugely important thing. Generosity is an indication that we are on that right path, righteous and heading for heaven. Verse 7 says this, it's all about the heart, and this is all about attitude. Now this is really important, because it talks about our heart to give. It's what you've decided in your heart to give, because this is testing your heart. Is your heart fruity and safe? If you've got a God heart, or if you've got a hard heart? Have you got a generous heart, or do you have a mean heart? And he said, you've got to look there, and that's where you decide to give. But he says the attitude to why you give is really important. Not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So why does Jesus talk about money? Because money can be a barrier to God. And God doesn't want any barriers between us and God. And even when we talk about money, I mean, we do need your money. I'm unashamed in saying that. But if you think it's just about us wanting your money, you've totally missed it. Because just here, if Paul was just simply after their money, he would have said, give money, it's your duty, give it, burden. But he doesn't. He says, don't give money. If you can't give it generously and cheerfully, he's not only saying don't do it reluctantly or under compulsion, he said you've got to do it cheerfully. Now why does he do that rather than say just give money? Well, I think it's quite simply because God is trying to do something spiritual inside you. You see, giving and generosity isn't just an act of I give to you. It changes the kingdom of God right here. It changes me. When I give money, I am changed by God in that very process. And God's righteousness comes into me. It's not an exchange of money. I give money. It's not I give money and then reap it. Verse 9 doesn't say they gave the money to the poor and they got lots of money back again. It says they received righteousness. Something spiritual is going on here. So the act of generosity changes our minds and it changes our hearts and stops us worrying about money. Because ultimately what you're doing when you say give cheerfully, you're saying to God, I cheerfully give this because I know you're going to look after all my needs. I can give any amount of money. Now, don't get me wrong, we have to be some wisdom and discernment about giving. But effectively, when you give, you're going, well, God, I'm going to trust you. It's you I'm going to trust. I'm not going to worry about whether I'm going to have enough money tomorrow because I'm going to trust you.
Yeah.
And God actually does something inside of us. That righteousness which endures forever starts manifesting itself inside us. God actually does something in us and sets us free. The more time with God I spend, the less I seem to worry about money. You see, connection to God makes our hearts soft and generous. So it's an indicator. More God results in more giving. More giving results in more grace. More grace results in more God. And round you go. So the question is, how generous are you? Because it is an indicator of how connected to God and heaven you are. And it's amazing, not just for some, and here, maybe it starts to unpack all the things that are happening. Verse 8, and God is able to bless you abundantly. Now, just take a deep breath. So that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work.
Yeah.
This is the result of giving.
Yeah.
This is a God thing. He's going, look, don't worry. You give abundantly and look what it does. Abundance results in abundance. Reap what you sow. God is able to bless you and supply all your needs. Do you believe that? Your heavenly Father is the source of all wealth and all love. You don't take money with you when you die. It gets passed back again. Money only truly ever belongs to God. But do you trust God completely with your money and your wealth? Will you trust God with all you have and your future? So you don't worry about your future. Because God has got that in hand. Do you trust God with your money? Do you trust him with your future? Whether you have much or little. Imagine your life blessed by God in all your needs. Who has more money, you or God? Who is better able to look after your needs, you or God? Who needs to be in control of your money, you or God? When God's in control, when you trust God to be provider, you won't worry anymore. And just as I finish, just this amazing verse, just go over them quickly. Verse 12. This service of generosity he's talking about, that you perform, is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but overflowing into many expressions of thanks to God. Generosity
transforms God's church and it transforms you and results in you praising God, verse 13, and people will give thanks in 12. And look at 14, it isn't just about what God does to you. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Do you see that? God will give you grace. People will give you prayer. People will love you because of your generosity. We think holding on to our money somehow will be meal secure. But God said, be generous. Take down that dam and release it into generosity. And the result will be both people and God will bring blessing to you. But first you have to trust God. But here's the most extraordinary verse. Verse 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What's he talking about then? He's talking about God and his son, Jesus Christ. You want to know how much God's going to look after you? He gave his son for you. I wouldn't give my son for you.
No.
But God loves you so much, he gave his son for you. You think he won't look after your needs? You think you can't trust him with your money?
No.
Somebody who gave their own son for you? If he will give his own son, do you really think that he won't look after your needs and beyond? When we're connected with God, we become generous. Are you holding back your money, your wealth, your possessions from God, and therefore holding back the blessing, the grace, the righteousness from both God and his people? Now, I don't know where you are with God, but there's kind of two responses here you can have. One is just to go, I'm done with it. You have to do it with the right attitude. If you can freely and generously and joyfully and cheerfully give, then can I encourage you to give? And those of you who haven't seen, we are looking for money, and or you can give it to someone else. I don't care. You can just give freely and release your money and watch God at work in you and watch people work. If you've got some barrier, maybe it's because of debts or various other things, or maybe you've got some barrier to actually being able to freely give and you can't do it, you still do it reluctantly. If you're a reluctant giver, you're going to need God to free that down and to release you into that blessing of generosity. And that's simple. But I warn you, if you pray this prayer, God will answer it. Just simply say, Lord, I am fearful of money, and there may be good reason, because you may not have been brought up like I was, and you may have had difficult things, so I get that. But God can release us from any curse that we've had, or things that we've been told, or worries that we've got, if we give them to God and say, Lord, I'm a reluctant giver, help me to be a cheerful giver. He will answer that. And release you to be a generous person. And connect you deeper to God. Connect you deeper into the church. Because ultimately, God doesn't need your money. But he does want your heart. We were talking this week about why on earth did God create us? Why did he create us? He created us. He didn't need us. God doesn't need us. He created us because he wants an intimate, personal relationship with each one of us. And if money's a barrier, let's get rid of that barrier. Because he's not interested in your money, he's interested in your heart, and he's interested in you. And generosity is a way that you can get closer to God. And that's why Jesus spoke a lot about.